You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 107.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. That was a teaser from A Passage of Life by Kitaro. He's one of my favorite New Age music composers. I hope you enjoy it, so stay tuned for the full piece at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I'll post the links to all of the sites we mention on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. Today, the topic is video content management, in particular, Ensemble Video. I interviewed Scott Nadsen. He's the director of marketing and sales for Ensemble Video. And I asked him a bunch of questions, and he did a great job of giving us a review of Ensemble. And he answers questions, for example, what is video content management? How is it used? What formats are supported? Why isn't YouTube good enough? Does it work with my learning management system, Blackboard in our case? Can we use it to host videos for iTunes U? If you don't know, iTunes U doesn't, Apple doesn't host your videos. So you need to find a hosting service and that provides an RSS feed. And we also might want to use it for GoToMeeting recordings. Again, Citrix does not host GoToMeeting recordings and leaves it up to you to host it. So without further ado, here's my interview with Scott. Scott, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me today and tell us a little bit about your company and what you do in the academic realm, especially higher ed. Why don't you give me a little background on yourself and your company?
Sure. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Scott Nadsen. I'm the director of marketing and sales for Ensemble Video. And what Ensemble Video tries to do is make it very easy for anyone on a campus to manage media. Whether you're a faculty member, an instructional technology analyst, a media professional, or an IT staff, we try to make it easy, again, to deploy media tools and publishing tools and management tools to your entire campus. And Ensemble Video basically serves higher education organizations and K-12 organizations, along with businesses who I think nowadays actually operate a lot like campuses. So we have large law firms or retail outlets that also use Ensemble Video. And what I try to do, again, is just kind of build awareness and train people on how Ensemble Video is used and how it can help the organization. And just a tiny bit of background on me, I've spent about 12 years in higher education. So I've worked at universities that you might have heard of, like the University of Buffalo and Syracuse University. And I've had different titles as new media analyst, instructional technology analyst, and a director of technology. So I've been involved in higher ed for quite some time now.
If I had a tell someone what you do, I would say, well, you're into video content management. So can you give me sort of a quick sort of nutshell tour of, what you do for a university such as ours? And then I'll have some more specific questions.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we are a video content management system, or some people refer to us as an online video platform. So what Ensemble Video tries to do is help university staffers manage this ever-increasing flow of video content. So whether it's instructional content, whether it's marketing or promotional content, whether it's kind of board meeting or advisory board content, there's this ever-increasing flow of videos happening on campus. And what campus professionals want to do a lot of times in the instructional technology side or the media production side or the IT side is wrap their hands around it and make sure that they can control it. And then they have a standard way of managing the content, searching the content, and publishing the content. So that's really what Ensemble Video really tries to do, is help you catalog your content so you can search it internally, when you're looking for it. You can also search it externally so your students or your viewers or your audience can find it. And then you also want to be able to publish it. So many times campuses, are going to invest in things called learning management systems, or CMSs, or content management systems, or blogs or wikis. As these universities manage this increasing flow of content, they want to publish it to an LMS, a CMS, a blog, a wiki, and many of you have probably heard of Blackboard, Moodle, Angel, Sakai, Canvas. Blogger, WordPress, PBWorks is a wiki. So, and really the strength of Ensemble Video, we would argue, is that we can work with a variety of media sources. So you can use Camtasia Relay, you can use Windows Movie Maker, iMovie, video conferencing units, or appliances to record the content or create the content. And then again, you can publish to a variety of systems like LMSs, CMSs, and blogs, because universities choose many different media creation tools and media publishing tools or content management tools. So, you know, that's really our strategy, to be extremely flexible and be positioned squarely in the middle of the video sources and the destinations.
You mentioned Blackboard, and that's our LMS. And could you tell me how this would integrate with Blackboard? What would be the typical workflow? You know, how would it affect the life of a faculty member? Or is this really, really behind the scenes and things that they really wouldn't come in contact with?
I think they would definitely come in contact with Ensemble Video and the integration into Blackboard. So usually the workflow is some sort of video is created. Either the faculty member creates it using Camtasia Relay, or maybe they had a student in the back of the room capturing that content. And what happens then is that video then gets uploaded into Ensemble Video. And again, you kind of just give it a title, description, you catalog that content. And then really what happens is once that video has been put into Ensemble, it is prepared for internet delivery. So the faculty member, after getting that video in Ensemble, or sometimes some people upload it for the faculty member, they go into Blackboard in their content area or in their course, and they use our Blackboard building block. So we have a Blackboard building block that makes it very easy to find your videos or your video playlist. So I would go into Blackboard, I would use one of the mashup tools, and either choose, you know, search a video in my media library or search in my playlist, and I could either pull in a single video into my media library that I've cataloged and uploaded into Ensemble, or I could pull in a playlist. So really, it's a two-step process. Get the videos in Ensemble, and then Ensemble and Blackboard work together, and you can search through Blackboard to pull in your content.
From the student's point of view then, certainly they would go to Blackboard and go into their course and see the sort of the catalog of recordings that their instructor made available. Is there a way at that point for them to subscribe to those videos? Say if they, you know, most students these days use iTunes as their, you know, their media aggregator on their iPod or iPhone. So can they subscribe at that point?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different workflows. So the one way of embedding a playlist is that the faculty member syndicates content to a playlist inside of an area in Blackboard. So maybe the assignments area or the videos area, where every time they go there, a new video is placed there when it's ready. Or a faculty member can choose a different workflow, and that would be creating iTunes feeds, and they could subscribe to an iTunes feed so that when the faculty member chose to add a new video into the playlist, it would be showing up in iTunes. So the one thing with Ensemble is there is this flexible publishing model where you can either, you know, put videos in a playlist that are all streaming content, or they could choose to do iTunes feeds inside of iTunes. So you definitely can subscribe. But I would say that, you know, it really depends on the faculty member and how they choose to deliver their content, if they want them all just to eat it up in Blackboard, or, you know, go into iTunes to grab that content.
Again, I guess from a user standpoint, if I'm in Blackboard, I would be streaming the video. If it's something that requires, say, very high quality video, it's a high def video of a surgery, and it's long, and I might want to have then a higher quality video that I would download through iTunes. Do you handle both kinds of video formats?
Yes, you can definitely do that. And there are different delivery models. So the streaming content is streamed off of a media server, and the iTunes content is pulled or downloaded off of a progressive download media source. So yes, you can definitely do that. Now, the one thing I would add, too, and what I would say about that medical high-definition content is one thing that Ensemble Video supports is called adaptive bitrate streaming, so that what you can do is upload a video into our system, put it on a streaming server so we can secure it and lock it down if it is a medical procedure, and we can stream you the high-quality file if you have the bandwidth, or we can immediately and automatically throttle back to a lower-quality video if you do not have the bandwidth. So do check your bandwidth in real time. And depending on what your bandwidth looks like, we will give you the proper file for your bandwidth. So that's kind of a nice feature of Ensemble Video as well.
are you iPad compatible? Folks out there know that they often come across a website that's using Flash, and they are presented with a blank screen. So I'm hoping and assuming that you also support iPad delivery.
Yes, definitely. And as I talked about the ever-increasing flow of videos on campus, there's also an ever-increasing flow of iPads and iDevices on campuses, which we've all seen, I think, in our time. And we definitely have a built-in HTML5 player so that when a student or a viewer, hits one of our videos, we know that they're on an iDevice, and we feed them the video through an HTML5 player automatically. So there's no thinking or action needed by the student. The software takes care of it automatically and makes the user's life very easy. And it also makes the content producer's life or the faculty member's life very easy, because they know that when they spend time creating the content and uploading the content, that they can guarantee delivery to a wide variety of devices. Because the last thing they want to do is get an email from a student saying, I can't watch this video because I'm on an iDevice or an Android. And what we try to do is, again, make it very, very easy for you to manage that content and deliver it. And so you can just move on and focus on the teaching.
In not having a comprehensive video content management system like yours, we've often relied on YouTube. Some faculty have discovered this on their own. They can upload their file to YouTube, and they could make it unsearchable. So it's obviously not, it's limited, I guess, in terms of being able to have it totally locked down. But if they make it so that only everybody with the URL can view the video file, why isn't that good enough? Why isn't YouTube good enough?
Well, I think there's a few reasons that we hear from our customers who choose Ensemble Video. I mean, I think there are some username and kind of user management issues when you start to really get into YouTube. One thing that Ensemble Video does and other video platforms is it binds with things like LDAP, Active Directory, and Shibboleth, so that you can start to set up permissions and rights and roles using your campus-based authentication sources. So that's really important. I do also think that with YouTube, you don't own the video anymore. It goes into YouTube out of your control. So that is one other reason that campuses many times will choose using something like Ensemble Video. And I also think that idea of ownership, and that's another big thing. But one thing to be said is our new version actually has a YouTube feed, so you can manage an Ensemble and feed to YouTube. I think there are some limits on length of video and little things like that, where, again, with Ensemble Video, you can really scale up your solution however you want and set different administrative rights, roles, and rules for your content. And again, say faculty members leave or are, transitioned into other areas. I mean, the one nice thing about Ensemble is you do have this central media repository where you can get at all the content. And again, with YouTube, you need to have an account to go manage content. You need to have an account for a faculty member to go get their content that you want to reuse. And Ensemble, it makes it more of a collaborative media management system on campus that can be tweaked, and you can provide access very easily across your enterprise, where YouTube's a little bit more manual setting, like you said, setting the permissions, making sure certain users can view it and things like that. And everybody has to have a YouTube account, where an Ensemble Video, again, we bind with your authentication sources on campus, like LDAP or Active Directory or Shibboleth.
We talked a little bit about iTunes from the standpoint of a student linking to their course lecture. How about an institution like Ayers that wants to use iTunes U? For those of you listening, you may not realize that Apple does not host the video. You have to find your own way to host it, and what you're providing iTunes U is an RSS feed. So can you support then our use of iTunes U?
Yeah, so I think that's another piece of that flexibility, is that you can stream content, or you could say, I want to actually feed iTunes U. And with Ensemble Video, you have access to a progressive download location. And it's a technical term for it, but really what that means is we can put content in an area that can be fed into iTunes. So we create iTunes feeds that can easily put into different little modules or pods in your iTunes sites or areas, and they could be automatically syndicated right into your iTunes U site. So with your subscription to Ensemble Video, whether it's self-hosted or cloud, you definitely get space for progressive download content, which feeds iTunes.
You answered one of my questions. I think our audience probably wants to know if it's cloud-based or we can host it ourselves, and the answer is both. What just out of curiosity, what do most of your clients do these days?
Well, geez, that's a tough question to answer. I would say, you know, it's not 50-50, but it's pretty close to maybe a 60-40. I think our self-hosted is still the most dominant model out there because of the control issues. Also, you take advantage of the performance benefits of being on a campus in your own local area network. So I would say 6 out of 10 customers have the self-hosted. And depending on who the campus is and what types of resources they have, you know, one of those systems is usually an easy choice for them. So again, you know, on the self-hosted side, control, they have human resources. They want to get their hands on the servers. They want to maintain hardware and software. In the cloud, you want a turnkey approach. You want a very simple system, a little bit less expensive. Can basically, you know, hand off a lot of the administration, the worrying about servers, the upgrades, all to Ensemble Video, and you just use the software as a service model. So that really works really well. You know, and again, right now, I think the cloud is getting more popular of late, but there certainly are larger universities with more resources who really want to add this into their network. And also one thing we're experimenting with that I think might be interesting to the listeners is a hybrid approach so that you can have a self-hosted model and stream all your content requests that come from the on campus. So if they're in a lab or in a classroom, it comes from your self-hosted model. But if it comes from a distance learning student, you know, across North America, it would actually be fed off of a cloud media server. So there's this hybrid approach that we're experimenting with, and there's a lot of interest in our customers. So we call that the hybrid model, which is actually pretty attractive to kind of network administrators because they don't have to worry about, you know, requests from, you know, across the country going into their local area network. It goes to our cloud.
Well, that's great. In fact, we're almost out of time, so I wanted to wind down, but that's, you know, that answers one of my questions. What's coming down the pike? And that sounds like a very interesting model because the question always arises, you know, how robust is the system? Are there backups? What happens when my data center gets flooded? The data center in the basement gets flooded. So it'd be nice to have that cloud backup. Anyway, Scott, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out and talking to me and my listeners. And best of luck with Ensemble.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the time and we appreciate the opportunity.
That's it for today's episode. I don't know about you, but I can think of several ways we could use a video content management system. I hope you learned a lot like I did. So don't forget to check the links on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. Now stay tuned for A Passage of Life by Kitaro. Until next time, have a great week. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.